This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall broadcast. My name is Will Kuntz, coming to you direct from the City of St. Petersburg City Hall. With me, as always, Ben Kirby, Kevin King. What's up, dudes?
What's going on, man?
You have a good Thanksgiving?
We did. I was in Jamaica.
You were in Jamaica?
For Thanksgiving,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. That's nice.
It was nice.
You didn't get stabbed?
Oh, come on, man.
Jamaica. I'm just asking.
Straight to
no, you could just say, no, I did not get stabbed.
He said he had a nice Thanksgiving.
Well,
I think
just,
a stab wound.
You just attacked Jamaica.
That.
Did you have turkey when you were in?
No.
Jerk turkey,
no,
maybe?
No, actually, on Thanksgiving night, we had Italian food. Italian restaurant in the resort.
How was that?
It was all right.
Yeah.
But didn't...
Better than a stab wound?
No stabbings. Jamaica's got a little bit of crime.
I've heard, yeah.
But... I think the tourists are mostly left alone, and you know we're along the coast.
Yeah, that's because there's barbed wire and guys with machine guns.
That's right.
Outside the resort. Yeah,
that's right. So no, everything was good, and had a nice time.
Nice.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
Belated early happy Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I guess we're gonna do one more of these before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
We will.
Ben, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great.
Yeah.
Hung out
with the fam. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Nice. Yeah, it was
nice. Me too. I went and visited my mom, and she cannot cook, so I hope she doesn't listen to this, but I managed to sneak out before dinner was served, and I went and ate at my friend's house. I felt bad, wow. But she makes stuff in the microwave, and I don't want to eat
instant potatoes. Your mom makes, during Thanksgiving?
And that's cooking to her. It's not. It's heating stuff up, is what it is.
But
it's not cooking, but she calls it cooking, so she had this...
She's heating it up.
Right. She had this tightly wrapped, pre-made turkey breast that she was going to put in the microwave. And I was like, oh, I got to go. I got something. I got to work. So I left and snuck out and had a real Thanksgiving dinner at my friend Nicole's house.
Nicole, yeah.
Yeah. It was delicious.
Will's mom is like the other co-host of the show, basically.
Yes. Janet.
Yes. Karen.
Right. That's a running joke.
Yes. But she is. She's like the co-host. We'd always talk about his mom because his mom and Joe Bordeaux are the two listeners.
Yes.
So
that's true.
That's the other running joke.
Joe. Hi, Joe.
Yeah. This is Joe's shop, basically. Radio okay. St. Pete.
Yeah.
So, and Joe loved our last episode.
It was a good one. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
What's new in the city this week since the last time we spoke?
A couple weeks ago, St. Pete formally became the first Florida city, 20th in the United States, to commit to 100% clean, renewable energy. Pretty big deal. Unanimous vote from city council allocating a little bit of the BP oil settlement money to come up with that sustainability action plan. So that's kind of a big deal.
Is there any how that's going to happen, though, rather than just saying it's going to happen? And
well,
then
that's what the plan really lays out, is how is this going to happen? How are we going to implement that? That's the purpose of the plan, rather than just saying it. It does sound good, but there is a plan involved.
Yeah.
We've actually found it easier just to say we're doing things.
That is much easier, yeah.
And you get a big...
You just figure it out as you go along.
You get a great reaction. You get a big press hit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone forgets. No, seriously, there actually is a very thoughtful plan to get us to where we need to be. And we've got... The mayor created a sustainability office when he came into office. And so we'll have Sharon Wright on sometime, actually.
Yeah, we should.
We have a sustainability manager, and we have a council who's behind these initiatives, and the mayor, obviously. So we're going to get there. I mean, the city is – we've always been a green city. It always felt a little silly that – was that my phone going off? It always felt a little silly. We were designated Florida's first green city, but we didn't have residential recycling. We didn't have – a plan really for clean and renewable energy in the city. And finally we're doing all this stuff, and it feels like we're earning that title. So, and it is exciting, and we're the first in Florida and one of the first in the country.
Is the plan out, or is that something that's kind of in development right now?
No, it's out.
Just visit stpete.org and
I don't know. I'd lead people in the wrong place, but maybe the next show we'll have Sharon Wright.
We'll have Sharon on. I think Sharon would be a good
one.
She'd
be good.
StPete.org has a little bit of information right now up on the website.
Right on. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
The day the show airs, Monday, December 5th, we're doing our State of the Economy, which will probably be well covered in the media. I would expect it to be. A lot of interesting statistics and stuff coming out of that.
Good news?
I think it'll be all good news. I don't actually know a lot of what's in there, but I mean, I think if you look at what we showed last year, shows some things like the number of young people coming into the city, the number of people working, some interesting stuff out of the Economic Development Office.
All the indicators are really positive.
Yeah.
Everything you'd want to see going in the right direction is.
Mm-hmm.
City's getting younger, unemployment's down, construction is obviously booming. Business is really good. It's a good time for St. Pete. I think we're certainly at beyond even pre-recession levels. We're having one of our best years we've ever had.
Yeah, I saw some article that we're like number three in the country as far as real estate.
It's
prices.
All
it's like up 11% or something. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's all doing really well, and it feels like it's doing more sort of responsibly well than maybe it did 10 years ago. It feels a little more sustainable. We're not getting carried away.
Right.
Yeah. You know, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, and speaking of renewable energy, we have Rick Musset here today.
Rick Musset is our guest today. He is the, what's your official title, Rick?
I'm the coordinator for Mayor Christman's Baseball Forever campaign.
Baseball Forever, and I've heard of this before, but tell me a little bit about what Baseball Forever is.
Baseball Forever is a campaign that the mayor launched and asked me to come in and facilitate, and it is geared toward getting the community involved and behind our effort to try to convince the Tampa Bay Rays to build a new ballpark on the Tropicana Field site. And part and parcel with that, the mayor's administration has, with council input, has developed a new master plan for the Trop site, which is in the final stages of being formed. And it will provide a location for a new ballpark, not necessarily the final design, because that'll be up to the team. And in conjunction with the new ballpark will be a totally redeveloped Tropicana Field site. It's an 86-acre site. It has substantial potential to dramatically change the face of downtown. We have one of the best urban economies in our downtown area, in just about any of the top 25 metropolitan areas, and this provides a tremendous opportunity for that area to be redeveloped and take downtown St. Petersburg development process to a new level.
So when you say the Trop site, is that that's where you're shooting for? That site, because I heard rumors in the past about maybe like a waterfront stadium or, you know, maybe moving up on 275 somewhere, but you're looking primarily for them to build on the Trop site.
We're focusing on the Trop site because that site is already publicly owned. It's got a history of baseball use. It has excellent infrastructure, and it's in the heart of a thriving downtown area, and that's the kind of energy the Rays have said they wanted to try to develop a new ballpark around. In the past, about 8 years ago, there was consideration of a ballpark on the downtown waterfront. That didn't fly. There might be other sites in St. Petersburg that the private sector owns and could develop a proposal. And of course, the city will work with the Rays wherever they choose to land in St. Pete. But we think this is a tremendous opportunity, and we're going to demonstrate that down the road in a proposal to the Rays.
I know that some of the people that go to the Rays games now don't like the closed-in stadium. It doesn't feel like a ballpark to them. I like the closed-in 72-degree weather every time. So is that something that, I mean, I don't know how involved you are in the planning of the new stadium, but is it going to be maybe an open air, like a classic stadium, or stick with the air condition?
First off, well, the city will work with the Rays, and the Rays will have a great deal of influence on the final design of the stadium. That hasn't been determined yet, you're right. And it may be, it may not be, a stadium with a retractable roof. But I think it's going to be more downsized. Ballparks aren't being built nowadays with 40 to 50,000 capacity. The last new one that opened was 38,000. That was PNC Park in Pittsburgh. I think what you'll have here is a much more intimate setting for the ballpark. And if it is climatized, if there is a roof and it is climatized, it'll probably be retractable. And the ambience of the stadium will be the most important thing. And the only reason maybe we would consider retractable when a lot of other different type climate cities have a new ballpark, they don't have it climatized, we would possibly consider that, and I'm sure the Rays will consider it based on the input they're getting from their fan base relative to the heat, humidity, frequent rains, and so forth. So that ball is still up in the air. It could go either way, but it'll definitely be a transformative stadium.
I would add, even if it has a roof, and this is based on some of what the Rays have said, it'll almost certainly feel a lot different than it does now. It'll feel like you're outside. Even if there is a roof, there's going to be a lot of natural light. There may be panels that can sort of move around to bring open air into an air-conditioned stadium. So I think you're going to see something much more sort of welcoming and friendly.
The Rays have made the point that when they developed the criteria, the general criteria they want to consider in a new ballpark, they compared it to Camden Yards. When Camden Yards in Baltimore came in online in 1992, it was cutting edge. It was totally different from what had been done in the past. You don't have the cookie cutter stadiums like you used to have back in the 80s and early 90s, but that was the cutting edge. And I think what they're looking to do, the Rays are looking to do cutting edge with this, is to scale it down, to make it more intimate, to make it more functional, and even to the point of thinking about maybe they're going to lay out the seating arrangement different than what has been done in the past. So it's going to be cutting edge change.
So what's the capacity now for the Trop as opposed to what they're shooting for?
The number of seats in the building is about 44,000 or 45,000. The official capacity is about 31,000 because they've covered a lot of those seats.
Right.
And by the way, the Cleveland Indians just went to the World Series this year. They covered their upper deck in the right field, outfield area. And it's because of that same reason. Teams are scaling down, trying to make their ballparks a little bit more intimate.
Is that just because baseball as a sport is losing popularity?
I don't think it's just because it's losing popularity, and it's turned around. By the way, the World Series this year had one of the highest ratings in recent decade or more. So that was very successful. It didn't hurt to have the Cubs involved. There
and
are
the
other
Indians
reasons,
too. For that matter.
They're looking, more customers are looking for better seats. So you're trying to create seats that are more, have close proximity to the field. So you may not, in the future, you may have stadiums with just one deck.
Oh, wow. So you said getting the community involved. How are you looking to do that?
We've created this campaign group. It has about 40 people involved. And each group is working on different focus areas. And each group, we've broken it down into five groups. They have goals and they're working on. And they are not, each group leader is working within their group, and both internally and externally, to reach out to the community.
So how much support have we had for this movement?
I think we've had a great deal of support. The public has responded well. The Rays have been very engaged with us. Of course, because the Rays have been playing in St. Petersburg since their formation in 1998, we have a good, close working relationship with them. We've dealt with them over the years. So it's not like a stranger relationship. They're still, at the end of the day, the Rays are going to do what they think is in the best interest of the franchise. But we do have an excellent working relationship, and that's continued through different mayors, the different city managers. And it's just there because it's a natural evolution when a city has a relationship with a franchise.
I heard recently that they sent out some sort of exploratory committee to look into Montreal as a possible location after 2027.
There's been rumors to that effect, but I think Major League Baseball is going to be viewing that very carefully. I can't speak to the specifics about what's going on in Montreal, but I do think that all the teams and the league itself have existing contractual arrangements, so they have to work within the framework of the business relationship side of baseball.
Why do you think St. Pete is the place for the race to be, for now and the future?
Well, I think if you take a look at downtown St. Petersburg and how it's thriving and will continue to thrive, especially if we completely redevelop the Trop site with a new ballpark, and look at where St. Petersburg is located, where downtown is located, look at within a regional setting, because there's a lot of focus on, are they going to Tampa, or are they going to stay in St. Pete? But if you look at the region as a whole, from Sarasota County north, including Pasco County, areas beyond, of course, Tampa, Hillsborough, and St. Pete, Pinellas, Pasco, you have Manatee County. We're centrally located. Most of the development in the area is located along the coastline, not only in the greater Tampa Bay area, but the whole state of Florida. And if you take a look at that and look where downtown St. Pete is positioned, along the western coastline, and the way the city is being developed, and other parts of the region are also being developed. And so I think collectively we're well positioned if you look at where the growth is occurring and where it has occurred in the past.
Just real quick, Will, if people are interested in what Rick is talking about and specific to Baseball Forever, they can just go to baseballforever.com. You can sign up, you can get updates, there's news on there.
There's a pledge form on there where you can pledge to buy season tickets in a new stadium. You can pledge to be a advertiser, to have a luxury box if your business or yourself is interested in that. What else is on that form that I'm missing?
Season tickets.
Yeah.
You can be a sponsor. The big thing, it's amazing, well, how many people don't know that there's multiple season ticket packages the Rays have. You can get a season ticket package for 81 games, 40 games, and they have five different plans this year for 22 games. And because a lot of us are working, we can't get out to all the games. But if you start diving in, there are multiple opportunities to get involved with the team and support the team.
They have 10 game too, right? The flex packs where you pick 10 games?
Yep.
10 favorite games or, yeah.
The ones I mentioned, 22 games and up, are good because it's considered a season ticket, even if it's not 81 games. That's how the Rays treat it. And because of that, you get extra perks with your tickets.
We're excited about, when we think about the redevelopment of that site, look where that whole site is located, that Edge District, and it's that sort of western expansion of downtown. And now we've seen in the last 6 months or so, the Dats restaurant from Tampa is going to open up across the street with a concept with a guy named Dr. Barbecue, who's a celebrity chef. So that, you know, downtown's cool, Beach Drive's cool, Edge District is kind of where it's at now, and future's super bright. All the townhomes and condos and apartments going on around there.
Yeah, and then you also got the ferry that opened up.
The ferry to bring more Tampa, bring all the Tampa fans here more easily.
Port right on up. Bus rapid transit will provide express bus service from the Pinellas beaches to downtown St. Petersburg.
Yep.
And a lot of the tourists, of course, stay there and they go to baseball games.
So I think one of the things we wanted to do today, Will, is ask you if you'd commit on the air of buying a luxury box. Do you want to do that on
yes,
the air?
Yes, I will commit to that. I will take two. As
two.
A matter of fact.
All right. Get Joe to clear.
Yeah, I got
to
get Joe to give me a bit of a raise. Thousands and thousands of dollars in raises.
Joe's a big Rays fan and a longtime member of Clutch Hitters.
He's been there since day one.
Yeah, and he Radio St. Pete should probably have a box someday.
There you go.
And a presence in the stadium.
Yes, I agree.
And actually,
agree.
He should just stand, be with Dwayne Statham and Brian Anderson. And
he
Joe
should be
Burnett.
In the booth. Yeah,
in the booth.
Well,
Joe would love
made
that
a commitment. He better
two boxes for Radio St. Pete.
He didn't
two
even
boxes.
Qualify it. You know,
I'm not inviting anybody either. I'm keeping them both to myself.
So the people that listen to this show and all the people there's a lot of community people who have shows on Radio St. Pete. The mayor's been on a couple of them. I forget the one guy's name. The business show.
Dean Logan. Right.
You know,
Logan.
Everyone.
Shop Talk with Shop Dean Talk Logan. With
yeah, everyone.
Wednesdays at noon. I think
we don't need to plug the guy. We just got to talk about it. But there's, you know, the people that listen to the show, the station, the people that are on the station. It's called Radio St. Pete. We want to keep the Rays in St. Pete. It's good for the city, and everyone needs to kind of look in the mirror and say, "Am I doing enough?"
To that point, I'll just add that those of us sitting around the table right now, we like baseball, right? That's why we go to games. But it's more than just about baseball. And it's about the economic impact on the city. The Pinellas County Tourist Development Council did a study in 2008 of the economic impacts of the baseball team in St. Petersburg. And on an annual basis. Now, of course, it'll vary with how good the team's doing and what other things are going on in the economy and all that stuff. But in 2008, it was estimated, and it was a legitimate scientific intercept study. And what they came up with is a value for that year of somewhere between $192 million and $298 million economic impact on the city. That's why we love baseball, baseball franchise, but the economic impact is really crucial to a city. And it's a result of the city's past and current investment in the team.
I think there's so much cool stuff along with the housing that's being built. You have this great beer scene that's here that, I mean, there's Green Bench, there's Cage, there's Cycle right down the road. There's so many of these things, and people are super into that.
And the Rays have their own, this past season they had their own
craft beer. Right, cool. Green Bench did that.
And I don't think Brian Ald, the president, would care if I said this, but I've heard him say we need to have one of these actually has a big presence in a new stadium year-round. And that's the other thing they want about this new stadium is they need people and want people to go there year-round, not just when there's a baseball game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They also want it to be authentic St. Petersburg or authentic Tampa Bay. So having Tampa Bay food and beverage and Tampa Bay souvenirs and things like that is part of how you demonstrate it is authentic. It's got the kind of the Edge District, some of the surrounding areas in town, along the Deuces and so forth, some of the microbreweries, they're starting to get a life of their own. And if the new ballpark is built in that area, you'll start getting a vibe like you have at Fenway Park. When you go to Fenway Park, it's just the streets around there are alive. There's buzz going on before and after games. And they've got that potential here. It's already happening.
Yeah, I like the idea of having it open, you know, 24, or not 24/7, but all the time. So you can go in and, you know, have shops to go into and, you know, grab a drink, something to eat.
Restaurant. It's a stadium you can enter not just from the inside. Yeah. You're going to go have dinner, and then you have a view of the field, and it's November or December.
The San Diego Padres, with their new ballpark, they started by showing how the outfield area could be accessible to the community at large when there's no game going on. And I think the Rays are interested in looking at that kind of opportunity too.
Yeah, I like that a lot. When do the Rays decide when they'll build a new stadium?
They haven't set a schedule yet, and they're just waiting for entities to submit proposals. They're talking to people on both sides of the bay, and their whole objective here is to try to find the location that will serve the team and the region. Kevin, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
So the deal that the city of St. Pete reached with the Tampa Bay Rays, we call an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding. It allowed the team to look around the region for about 3 years, basically. So I think they have until December of 2018, to look around without penalty for a new site. And then there's always the option that they, you know, we hope this isn't the case, but that they don't find a site in Tampa Bay, and then they have an agreement with us to play at Tropicana Field through 2027. So the deal, you know, the mayor had a lot of confidence in the city to basically roll the dice and say, I'm okay with the Rays looking around because I believe when they're all done, they're going to want to stay here. And it was a calculation that we'd rather have that than let's just hold them to their use agreement to 2027. And then that calculation is they could just leave the region altogether. So council eventually agreed with the mayor, and we have confidence, just as much confidence today, I think, as we did, you know, about a year ago, that they're going to stay in St. Pete. It's the best city in Florida.
I agree. I hope they do, too. And I know they have huge TV ratings, but it's not really showing up at the stadium. That's where we're having the issue. And I'm not really sure why that is. Do you have any theories on that?
It's hard to speculate. I think there's a lot to do with how the team is doing.
But even when they were good, or, you know, having that really good season, when
TV wasn't strong. Yeah,
TV was strong. Really strong. But yeah. I don't know if it translates. I mean, probably it was an increase, but not as much as you would think for that team.
I think some of that is just, and this is what the Rays are trying to get to, the excitement of being at the ballpark. And I think that's what's missing. They're doing really well on TV, and they make money from TV. The market is good for TV. So they need to get more butts in seats, and they need to get more people in boxes, business support. So
the ballpark itself, to your point, it can be an attraction. When it's, especially when it's interactive, people, it's a place that people want to go and hang out, not just to see the game, but socialize.
To see and be seen. Yes. Friday night at the ballpark. And
a new design will provide that opportunity, because this building was basically, the Trop was designed conceptually initially in 1985. So there's been a lot of evolution of ballpark design, especially when you're in a kind of a thriving activity area. Like the Edge District, like downtown St. Pete.
So Tropicana Field, to Rick's point, feels like when you walk in there, even though it's kind of nice because it's, you know, got AC, it's 72 degrees, but when you walk in, you disappear from the city.
Right, yeah.
You can't see downtown. You don't feel like you're a part of the nightlife.
You're just, yeah, it kind of feels like you're in a jail.
You're in jail for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then you get out to go meet your friends at Central Avenue.
Right.
So I think they're trying to integrate it into the city.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can see outside. It feels like a vibrant place to be on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, totally. You got a Kevin speed round?
Well,
did you prepare one?
I don't need to prepare anymore. They just roll right off. I'm going to ask Rick Musset some Rays trivia.
Oh, no.
Yep. First hit in Rays history.
Do you need me to look this up, or do you?
He's not going to be Kevin Stalker.
This is going to be the bench coach for the Chicago Cubs this past year.
Oh, Davey Martinez.
That's right.
I once saw Davey do an inside-the-park home run and belly flop at home plate at the Trop.
Really?
Yep.
And then home runs.
He's an outfielder for us.
First home run in Rays history.
Oh, I know who gave him up. Wilson Alvarez. I don't know who got it.
He gave up quite a few. So.
The same guy who hit his 3,000th hit home run.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Okay, and then the last one I have for Rick Musset, St. Pete question related to baseball history. The name of the current ballpark in St. Pete, named after two old guys that you knew. You didn't know personally. Tell everyone what's it next to Crescent Lake.
Huggins Stengel Field.
Yes. And why is that a big deal?
That's a big deal because... that's where Babe Ruth played. It's also a big deal because when I did trivia with Kevin and the whole new Mayor Christman team, I had a trivia question I was sure no one would get. And I said, who is Huggins Stengel Field named after? This guy got it. I mean, in a New York minute.
He gave me a dollar.
I offered a dollar because I figured I'd be safe. Right? Everybody else in the bus was silent, but
yeah,
not him.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked about that.
Yeah. Miller and Casey.
Yep.
And, you know, my son's name's Casey, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
We talked about him in the last
episode.
That's
a big help.
Yeah.
And that ballpark is famous because that's when Babe Ruth was playing right field in spring training game once, and somebody hit a shot in the gap, and it went down. The ball ended up down by the Crescent Lake area. And Babe Ruth refused to chase after it because he knew there were gators there.
Smart man. Who's your favorite Ray of all time?
One of them is Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah, I love Rocco.
Yeah,
I met him one time out. We were drinking downtown many years ago, probably about 10 years ago or so. And he was the only like cool, calm, and collected guy. There was Jeff Neiman there, too. He was ham-dogged.
Tall guy.
He brought pizza in. And this was at the old Independent. He's like, anybody wants some pizza, go ahead. And then I talked to him for a little bit, and he was very nice to me, even though I was probably very intoxicated.
And you know how graceful he was in the outfield.
Yeah.
When he was
Rocco.
In good health, yes.
Yeah.
He was compared to Joe DiMaggio.
He looked like Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio.
He moved like him. Yep. And he had this illness, this crazy illness. And now he's a first base coach.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's nice that he's
back. Yeah, it's good to have him with the
team.
He's
a good guy. Yeah.
I saw Chris Archer at Black Crow Coffee on a couple days ago. And I approached him and talked to him, and I asked him to do my podcast, and he went, sure. And then I emailed him, and I haven't heard back from him.
Which podcast did you invite him to do? This one, right?
No, the Homemade Broadcast.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's what he does.
You guys work on that. You got connections.
All broadcast, Archer would have been
right. I guess I could have lied. Sure, yeah, that's true.
This is what he does. He pitches his own stuff.
Right.
Well, this is my stuff, too. But
out in the at the bars.
Yeah.
Well, ask him again. You know, he's getting in. Media expert here.
Yeah, I know. He does all the ESPN stuff.
Archer's
and everything.
Good.
Yeah, he was very nice, but I could tell I definitely caught him off guard that day.
Did we have something recently, Will? There was some sort of comedy thing you went to, or local comedy show contest or something. Did I see that?
I did. I mean, I put on the show at the Loft.
Was that you that did that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where they do the final Fridays.
I saw something on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my event. I don't think we're going to do one in December because of the holidays, but hopefully back in January. So we'll see. Well, Rick, thank you for coming on. Check out baseballforever.com for information about how you can get involved with the new Rays team. We certainly do hope they stay here. I do, for one. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sign the pledge.
Sign the pledge.
Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark.
All right. And make sure you check out the Homemade Broadcast Sunday, 6:15 here on Radio St. Pete. Follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. For Ben and Kevin and Rick, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye from Highlight.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall Broadcast.